Well, I was hoping maybe we could do some more singing, but I guess a lot of people weren't able to update their books yet, so maybe we'll have to wait on some of those new songs till next week. But I'll try to be short here, and we could still maybe sing some songs. So, first passage will be Luke 10, 1 through 20. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you.' Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You shall be brought down to Hades. The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." And then my second one would be Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And then let's see, Mark 16, 14 through 20. After he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then, the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. And then the final one will be Acts 19, 1 through 7. And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the island, through the inland country, and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples, and he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." And he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" They said, "Into John's baptism." And Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying." So that's all I was going to read. I just wanted to encourage us to seek the power of the Holy Spirit, because I feel like that's something we're lacking. And from what I see in Scripture, from these passages I read, these commands are not things that were expiring. And I just want us to encourage us to seek for the filling of the Holy Spirit. God bless y'all. Feel free to comment and questions or add on.
Amen, Brother Walter. And I'll make one connection. See if you had the same connection. John preached repentance for the forgiveness of sins, and yet John did no miracles. And in Luke 10, Brother Walter read that, "Woe to you, Chorazin, Bethsaida, and even Capernaum." These are the seaside cities on the Sea of Galilee where the Lord performed so many miracles. And he said, "Yeah, if they had the miracles that I've done there," he said, "Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have what?" There's the catchword. The purpose of miracles is not to show, you know, how great God is, although He is God, He can do all things. But the purpose of His miracles for one word, what was it? In verse, it says it right there. It says in verse 13, "For if the signs, the mighty works have been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they would have had a great while repented in sackcloth and ashes." So John didn't do any miracles, but baptism was for repentance, but Jesus did miracles for the purpose of repenting. And we don't see the miracles today. Well, they could exist. I haven't seen them, but we don't see the miracles today like that, but we need to repent. Thank you, Brother Walter. May the Lord be magnified.
I wonder what would be the explanation to the fact that there in Luke it says that the miracles that were done in Chorazin and Bethsaida, if they would have been done in Tyre and Sidon, the people would have repented. I just honestly don't know why the miracles were done in Chorazin and Bethsaida, but not in Tyre and Sidon.
Yeah, it stood out to me. Well, it stood out to me that that Jesus said to first give your blessing, and then if you have to, take it back. I don't know what all the application that would be in our lives, but it's kind of, I find that challenging. I feel like I kind of withhold, I find like I tend to withhold my blessing until some, I feel like I can give it. Anyway, I was challenged by that one point, give it, and then if you have to, take it back. It seemed different than kind of some of my thinking in some ways.
Yeah, it's a good subject. I do see in, I think this is interesting too, in Matthew 13 at the end, it says, "They were offended at him," verse 57 to 58. "They were offended at him, but Jesus said to them, 'A prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house.'" And then it says something I think is really interesting here. It says, "Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief." And that word unbelief is just, you know, the same thing as disobedience, unfaith, faithfulness. I think it's interesting that Jesus came back and even the disciples there were in unbelief. He had to rebuke them for that. And in Acts, it also says that the Holy Spirit is given to those who obey. So I think that it is really key that we do examine ourselves going forward if we really want to the blessings of the Lord, receive the Holy Spirit. We have to fully die to ourselves, fully submit, fully repent, confess everything. Otherwise, it can't progress forward there. And this is one reason I think, this verse right here is one reason I think that there's not a lot of miracles in America, because there's so much pride and disobedience and lawlessness. But then I see that other preachers go to other places and there's miracles that are happening, a lot of them. People are, you know, having miraculous healings, all these things. I think that God operates according to people's humility, and that he is not to be tempted. He's not just going to go out and hand out everything that he's going to do if people are going to be proud and rebellious. I think that applies to everywhere. I think that if we feel that there's a lacking there, I think that really it would be a reason of unbelief.
I guess the thing I thought of is just our goals. What are our goals? Our goals should be the fruits of the Spirit. We should desire that fruit. I feel like I see people, and I'm not accusing you at all of this, Walter, but there are people that their goals are to have miracles. And I think, like Luke reminded us, you know, that the Holy Spirit comes to those who obey him. So the Holy Spirit is a result of those of something else. And so that should be our goal. And I would just ask people the question, you know, that say we need the Holy Spirit. I'd say, well, how do you? But that's fine. But how do you get it? And I don't know of any other way to hope to be gifted with the Spirit of God than by walking in his ways. And I don't see any reason for us to desire or ask him for anything besides fruitful, helpful things for the kingdom and for our own lives.
Christ Jesus, our Savior, Amen. There's a plane in